Good morning, everyone. I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that gave us the opportunity this morning to come together like this and granted us this place again to come together like this in a peaceful place to look into God's Word. If there's guests here, you guys are very welcome here, and we rejoice with y'all to come under God's Word and look what God is going to say to us today. I invite each and every one of you with me to open up our hearts and mind for the Word of God this morning. If we don't do this, we come in vain. We open up our hearts and mind to where the Word of God has a saying in our life. The Word of God is so powerful to transform. The Bible uses various words. It uses regenerate, transform, it uses some more words, but the Word of God is so powerful to regenerate or transform a human life. It has transformed my life, but that came with one condition. I had to make the decision to come under God's Word and to bow under God's Word, that the Word of God had the saying in my life. And then it came, I received Jesus Christ like that, and the Word of God is so powerful. But when John Lowen was here, he said one thing that sunk deep into my heart. He said that we have lost that the Word of God has the authority in our life, and I believe that. And my prayer is that we can get that back, that the Word of God has the authority in our life. If we read God's Word, that it has the authority that we can lay our will down and be filled with His will. Now, I believe we have to come to God as a vessel, empty of ourselves, to be filled with God's will. Then the Word of God will be on its power. For today's message, the title on today's message is, Are You Ready for the Coming of Jesus Christ? Are you ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? Now, this message should, if you're not saved, if you're not ready, it should speak to you, that should draw you to repentance. And if for those of us that are saved and are ready for the coming of Jesus Christ, we want to look at some various things. Jesus has said some things to us. He has said a lot of things, but we would just want to look at a couple of them. What we ought to do while He's gone. And that we should be excited. But the question is, if we are ready, what are we doing? What are we doing while? I saw on one of the brothers' media this week that it said, if you're waiting, then do what the waiters do, serve. And I thought that was very fitting. That's a very good saying. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Here we have Jesus, His disciples are asking, what day and what hour will You come back? They were under the impression that Jesus, or under this thought that Jesus was going to bring down the kingdom, or He was going to raise up His kingdom at this point of Israel, and that they were going to be their own land again. And so He goes on and He says that, it will be like the days of Noah. The people will go in, they won't believe. Noah went into the ship, and then the flood will come and take them with. And then we go down to verse 43 and 44, where Jesus tells His disciples a specific thing. It says, But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Now verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This, Jesus is saying this to specific people. He's saying this to His disciples, those that are ready. He says, therefore you also be ready at all time, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect Him. Therefore, you shall be ready. But we want to look a little bit about at, he says this to certain people. Those that had left their father in the ship with the fish. Other disciples left their boat, and then they came and followed Jesus. Some of the disciples asked Jesus, "What are we going to get? Because, you know, we've left everything. We're over here following you, and what are we going to get?" So he is saying this to those people that had already made the decision to follow Jesus. They had already followed Jesus for a certain of time, for a couple of years. And to those, Jesus is saying this. So we should ask ourselves, are you and I a follower of Jesus, so that these words apply to us? Have you made that decision to follow Jesus, to leave that boat, to leave your own will, and to follow Jesus in everywhere, in every way he goes? Does the Word of God have the authority in your life that when the Word of God tells us that we lay our will down and take up God's will, then these words apply to us, that we can be ready? We want to look at this a little bit closer. I believe if Jesus says that we should be ready at all time, then we should look to get ready, to prepare. Being ready means to prepare first. The preparing comes first. And just as Jesus had said that he was going to prepare a place, he left, and then we stay back, and then that time comes to prepare. Now, first, we'll take two short examples, but if we look at in our daily life, if we come to the weekend, we start cleaning up for the weekend, right? We get all stuff out, and then we clean the house. The ladies clean the house. We may clean other stuff, but we get ready for something. We know we have a goal for that, to get ready. And if Jesus says that we should be ready, then we should know what to be ready for. And all of this sin that hangs on us, and we'll come to that in a little bit later, but if sin is in our life, that is trash. We should get rid of that and prepare to be ready. The next example I wanted to use is a groom and a bride. A couple gets engaged. We have a couple of couples that are engaged here. They know what I'm talking about. But when a couple is engaged, then this time of preparing starts. Right? Jesus said to his disciples, "I go and prepare a place for you. Once I've prepared it, I'll come back for you so that you can be there where I am." And that leaves both of the parties in preparing. Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare," and he expects his bride to prepare. So what if the bride all of a sudden forgets about the groom and she just starts doing whatever she wants, living in unholiness, that which means in sin? If we take it more personally, if she just forgets about everything, she knows that he'll come maybe in years, and then she starts living a very pearly life, living in sin. And then once the groom comes, do y'all think that groom is going to be happy with his bride all covered up in this mess of sin? The same way, I believe that Jesus is not going to be happy with us if he comes and we're living in ungodliness and several other things, and a lot of other things. If the bride sees her groom come and she's not ready, what is she going to do? She's going to say, "I am not ready. He should have waited just a little bit longer." So are we ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? Are we living in that moment that Jesus says, "You shall be ready at all time"? Jesus said that to those that are following him. So if we're followers of Jesus, we should be ready at all time, laying aside all of these other things that hinder us in our life with Christ. We're going to be looking at some simple things today. Let's turn to Luke chapter 19. Many times we want a lot of God to give us a lot of big things that we can do business with. And we forget about the little things that God gives us every day. Let's read Luke chapter 19 and verse 12 and 13. Luke chapter 19 verse 12 and 13 says, "Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into the far country and received for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come." So here we see that Jesus says that there is a man that went to a different country, and that is the picture of Jesus leaving this earth, going to heaven and preparing a place, and he will come and get us back. But what we want to look at over here is verse 13, that he has given us, in other words, gold or money or whatever you want to call it. The Bible talks about various things. We want to just look at some small things. And I have a question on that. How many of us woke up this morning without life? That we just woke up and we did not have life. You see, life is the most important thing we use every day that God gives us to do business with. God gives us life every day to do business with. And he also gives us a lot of other things. So we want to just look at some of those, these little things that we most of the time look over, and we look at other things. God, you should give me this, you should give me that. If we look at it at a different person, many times we look at it, if I could be in that person, I would do better with whatever God has given him. I would be a better businessman or a better preacher or a better teacher. You can go on with the list. And we don't look at our life that God gives us. How do we live our own life daily with God? How does God see us in our daily life? When God had formed Adam out of this clay that he formed him, he blew this living soul into Adam. Then Adam became a living soul. He had breath. These are the things we many times we look over and we think God should give us this and this and that, and we look over that God has given us every day, every moment, every second. The life that God has given us, how do we live our life? Do we live it for ourselves, or do we live it for the Lord? Do we do business with our life the way God, it will glorify God? Or do we live our life for ourselves? As well as our breath. It's another thing. We breathe every second. And so many times we think that our breath is normal. But it is in God's hand. Do we do business with our breath as we should? Let's think about God gave Adam a clean breath. Many people turn this breath into smoke. And they think that there's nothing wrong with it. How do we do business with our breath? Simple things as that. Let's talk about us as husbands. God has given us a wife. Many times we look at our wives as they're our helper. They have to be submitted, and they have to. That is God's will, but we think that we're the ruler in the house. How do we do business with that, with our wife? Wives, how do y'all do business with your husbands? This is, God says, do business till I come. Sorry, Jesus says, do business with them. And then we as husbands and wives, God gives us children to do business with, to turn them back to him. How honest are you and I with that God has given us? If me and you are not honest with our own life, how can we expect God to give us anything else? If we want to live our life for ourselves, how do we want to ask God for something else? Jesus says, do business till I come. In what state are you and I? Are me and you honest with that God has given us? Simple things is that. And me and you, we have a lot of things in our life that we go into, little things that we can be thankful for, that God has given us, that God gives us every day. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. This is where I wanted to go. Then each one's praise will come from God when Jesus Christ is going to come. For that you and I have done business right with, God will praise those. The question is God going to be able to praise us for what we have done? Or what we are doing? How is our life with Christ? Is he going to be able to praise us? Or is he going to be able to have to say, like he says to the servant, you have done well, you've won another five with what I've given you. Or to the other one that had received one, he says, "You're not an honest servant," and he's going to be cast away. How is our walk with Jesus? Are we ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? Do we do business right in the sight of God? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Here Paul talks about that the God of peace will sanctify you completely. Paul is praying on something that hurt us many times. He says that the God of peace that will sanctify you completely. There's a German, in Hochdeutsch, it was Adonzei, Heilige durch und durch. Sanctify through and through. For what reason? That your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to look at a simple picture. I'm not familiar with cleaning gold, but I've heard some stories how they clean gold. Now, someone that goes and takes a piece of gold out of the mountains, wherever they find it, it is dirty, right? It is not clean. And then they put it in a pot, and then they heat it up. And then the gold goes to the bottom, and then all of the trash comes up, and then they'll take the trash off. And then they'll reheat it every time. They'll reheat it until it is so clean that the master, whoever is cleaning it, can see himself in this gold, like a mirror. The same way God cleans us. He sanctifies us. Let's say we're that piece of gold. We see that the Bible says that we're a valuable thing to him. We have a living soul, what God wants, as the master wants the gold. But he does not want the sin. All of this dirty stuff that comes with the gold, that is our sin. Now here Paul is saying May the God of peace sanctify you through and through. or sanctify you completely. Now, if we're this piece of gold, and we end up in this pot, my question is now, how many times have you been heated? If God puts this heat on it, does it reflect anything? Or if you look back to the point where you received Christ, do you see a change? Do you see that you have gained something from that point? God will sanctify us through and through. Or how many times have we jumped out of this pot in the middle of the progress? I know I've done it. We go through a hard time, and God is, He's cleaning us, He's sanctifying us, and we don't know why we're going through this hard time, and we look at something else that we can find peace on. He says that He will sanctify you completely, so that your whole spirit, soul, and body may be preserved blameless. Jesus wants, if He's looking at me and you, He wants to see Himself becoming more like Jesus. In John chapter 15, Jesus talks about the vine and the grapes. This vine that is, He's going to prune it so that it can bring more fruit. It is going to hurt, but that is the will of God. Now, if we look back to the point where we got converted, how does our life look? Are we still that piece of gold that is with all of this dirty stuff, or are we clean already? How does mine and your life look in the sight of God? Do we strive to look more like Jesus? The Bible says, God is holy, therefore you should also be holy. Do we live in this holiness that God wants us to? Verse 24, it says, He who calls you is faithful and will also do it. God will do it. And it takes an obedience to the Word of God, that we stay in the Word of God, to be cleansed completely, to be sanctified completely in the sight of God. Let's turn to Titus chapter 2. It says, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, For the grace of God has brought us salvation. It has brought salvation to appearing to all men. And it teaches us that we shall deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Do we deny these things? And that we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, which means today. Looking for this blessed hope, which is Jesus Christ, and the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I believe if we wait for something, it says over here in verse 13 that we're looking for the blessed hope. We're looking at that. We're looking forward for that. In other words, if we wait on something or someone, we are not going to be sitting somewhere and waiting on something or someone not knowing what we wait for. We know the reason. We know what we wait for. And if we know that we wait for, that has to do with communication or relationship and so on. So if we look for this blessed hope, are we looking on Jesus? What do we look at? What do we believe? Or who do we stand on? We sing this song that if your faith is built on something else than Jesus Christ, then you're standing on sinking sand. all other ground is sinking sand. But Jesus Christ will stand forever. What is your hope built on? What do we look forward to? Do we look forward for this day when Jesus is coming? Are we ready for that? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And now, little children, abide in him that when he appears, he may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. It says over here in verse 28 that now, little children, abide in him. Stay in him. John encourages us to keep our eyes on Jesus, no matter what. But abide in him. Then we may be confident and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Are me and you going to be ashamed when Jesus comes again? Are we doing business right as he has told us to? Are we living our life right with him? How is mine and your life in the present age today? Are we going to be put to shame with what we live in our daily life, how we live our life? If we stay in the relationship with him, we will not be put to shame, says verse 28. But he who practices righteousness, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that practices righteousness is born of him. We shall practice this. The question is, are you serving God today? Are you serving God right now in this present age? How are you serving him? If Jesus would come in this next hour or two, maybe tomorrow, today, maybe in the next 5 minutes, what would you say? Would you be ready? Would you be able to say that here I am with this goal that you've given me, and I've done business with, I've won another 5 or another 10, or maybe even more? Or would me and you have to say that I buried it? I lived my life the way I wanted to. How do you and I live our life daily? Our life, our marriage, like our wives or your husbands, our children, simple things as our breath. How do we do business with that? Or would you say that just wait a little longer? Maybe you haven't accepted the Savior, that you cannot be ready. Only those that have decided to follow Jesus can be ready. Otherwise, you can't be ready. If we look forward to meet Jesus, then our heart can be in it and we can bring fruit for him. How is your walk with Jesus today? Are you ready for his appearing? Would you be able to say that I live in holiness? I am ready. I've left everything that went according to my will, and I've followed you the whole time. Would you be able to say that the life you've given me every day, I've lived it for your glory? The breath, all the little things that we don't look at every day. Would me and you be able to say that, Lord, I've lived my life well? How is our life with Jesus? Are we looking forward to this day? Do we serve him now? May that encourage us in our walk with Christ, that we walk in Him and that we look forward to that day when He's coming. Amen.